they don't understand because they live in the false world of social media where there are no consequences. Welcome back to Teacher Tales, where we give you the keys to overcoming teacher burnout to find work-life balance and educational bliss if it still exists. On this interview episode, Ms. Hill orates the challenges of being an educator, her struggles with mental health and what she did to fix it, and the surprising revelations about the administrative side of education. She's been on the show a few times, but this is where it all started. Okay, Ms. Hill.
Mr. Franklin.
It's good to finally get you on the mic.
It's good to be here.
We've been planning this for a while.
We have been.
But, you know, things happen.
Life happens, okay?
So, this is not your first career.
Technically, no.
Give us the breadcrumbs. How did you, well, first, how long have you been a teacher? What do you teach? And what other roles and or responsibilities do you have? And then give us the breadcrumbs.
Okay. So, this is year 8 for me. I teach professional communication.
Shout out. Dang.
Yes, I teach prof comm.
Also known as speech class for the people who don't.
Speech class. All the fun words. I'm also the head cheer coach at my school. And yeah, those are the questions that you asked. The breadcrumbs. I was a flight attendant, not a flight attendant, but like a flight attendant representative at an airport.
Wait, what?
I worked at the Sugar Land Regional Airport.
Okay, that small airport.
The small airport. Mm-hmm. And I was a front desk girl, but we were called flight attendant representatives, FARs. And I was finishing my degree in corporate communications at the time at Lamar University. And I got a call from one of my friends that she needed an assistant track coach at the time at my alma mater, which is Hightower High School.
Hightower.
Go Canes. And I was like, well, when I finish my degree, I guess we'll see. I was taking an English. I was trying to be English certified at that time.
Ooh.
Yeah, worst decision ever. Which technically I am English certified. Middle school English. But she was like, just come. I had taken a job at a real estate agent to be a real estate agent at the time. And my favorite teacher in the whole wide world, the whole reason why I kind of am a teacher, called me and was like, I have a job for you and we will figure this out. But I need you to take this job today. And I left on my lunch break at the real estate office and never went back.
I saw that coming. Dang.
Yeah, never went back. And
they was blowing your phone up?
They called me that next morning and was like, hey, like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I know you're supposed to put in like a 2 weeks, but like, I'm not coming back.
That's what you said?
Yeah, I probably can't ever go back to that real estate
group. No, you cannot.
The only thing I could buy a house through them for myself, but you know, it's cool.
It's okay.
But I worked at Hightower High School. I taught English 1 and 2 there. I was the assistant track coach. And then I got my first head track coaching job at Stafford High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught, that was a wild year. I was a middle school English teacher. I taught 8th grade English. I was the ESL coordinator. I coached middle school volleyball, basketball, and I was the head girls track coach.
Wait, this is, what year of teaching is this?
That's technically 1, because when I was at Hightower, I was technically a sub, a long-term sub, because I wasn't certified yet. And then when I got to Stafford, that was my first official year teaching.
Right.
And that was a wild time, because I was the ESL coordinator for the middle school. And I was the head girls track coach. I coached middle school volleyball and basketball.
These people were setting you up.
And taught 8th grade English.
That sounds like a hard time. How did you?
It was, and I was the rookie teacher of the year that year. So it was, I really taught at like one point in my life. I taught a lot I did a whole bunch of stuff that year.
Dang.
But it was fun. It was fun because I loved coaching track and we made it work. I taught maybe like 2 classes a day. So, because I taught the ESL inclusion, because I was the coordinator, I got the kids who could speak absolutely no English.
Right.
So they were in, at Stafford, we were on block classes. So they were my first and second.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have, I think my conference was third and fourth, fifth and sixth. I taught my eighth grade class.
Right.
No, fourth and fifth, I taught my eighth grade class. Sixth period and seventh period were my athletic period. So in reality, I only had about 40 students that were on my roster because there were maybe 10 in my inclusion class. And so it wasn't terrible, but it was just like every day I either had to sit in a meeting or I had somebody coaching duty. But it was a fun time. And I was young and I had nothing else. I didn't have no kids. I wasn't married at that time either. No. So I was living my best life. I was just at the school all day, every day, doing work.
What job do you feel like you had, or what experiences, I'll say, do you feel like you had that helped you to become a teacher, like, along the way? Because you didn't just go from high school, college, education. There are always, like, these things that kind of add to our teacher tool belt. Whether we know it or not. So what were some of those experiences that you had that when you became a teacher, you go, huh, I know how to do this because I've been in this situation before?
Well, see, my journey to teaching experience was mainly because I wanted to coach. That is all that I genuinely wanted to do. And when I was in college, I got injured my junior year, so I stopped running track.
Where'd you run at again?
I ran at a couple of places. I started at Texas Christian University, and then I ran at Texas State University.
Mm.
But as y'all heard, I said I got my degree from Lamar University. So, but I did not run there because I got hurt at Texas State. And when I went to Lamar, that's kind of when I decided I think I want to take this route of education because I went there and I was coaching. And I absolutely loved coaching the kids. And I can't say kids because we were granted the same age.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved coaching and I loved teaching because they, like they say, those who can't do teach, but I can do. I just physically.
Yeah, what the?
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they say, but listen.
That's what they say, but I
still do a lot of stuff. Y'all better check my social media.
I just was injured, and I genuinely didn't have a desire to run for myself anymore.
Right.
So I was there, and I was coaching, and I was like, I really like doing this. I just don't like the collegiate game of this. So I think I want to try the high school route.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey to get from, like, there to where I am now in coaching was just because I started coaching summer track and little league and intertwining with like that realm. And I saw that there was a huge disconnect between what colleges need to see and what high schools are actually producing.
Right.
So I wanted to be a part of that change and start helping kids prepare themselves for what they're going to see when they walk on a college campus, because mm-hmm. it was a big jump. Like as a high school athlete, it was a big jump for me going to college because I had never trained that long or done any of that stuff before. So I was like, it's not fair to a high school kid to think, oh, I want to go to this D1 program and be great, but then have no real experience or expectation of what they're going to walk into. It's like setting a kid up for failure.
Yeah, I think you have that with, I mean, that happens with plenty of coaches that have never had that experience.
Yeah.
I think the great thing now is that there are so many different resources when you talk about YouTube and different academies and all that stuff now, but I'm sure at that time, because you were seeing it, you're like, this ain't working. This
yeah,
ain't it.
And at that time, I mean, I'm a little old, so like YouTube wasn't.
I'm older than you.
YouTube wasn't a big thing at that time.
Right.
So like, granted, social media today, and I mean, technology and all that other fun stuff today is very different than it was when mm-hmm. I was in high school or in college. So like, that wasn't prominent. That wasn't something that you look to get information from.
Right.
So it's really kind of like word of mouth and just hearing about it when you get there. And like I said, when I was a freshman in college, that was a big adjustment for me. And I felt like it didn't just affect me. It affected a lot of freshmen who thought, oh, I want to go to this D1 program and I want to be successful. And you have no real clue what you're signing up for. Because when you go on those college visits, they're painting a rose-colored picture. They're just showing you the glitz and the glamour. And they're not showing you the dirt and the mud that you're going to have to go through to even get close to the glitz and the glamour that only pops up on college visit days. So yeah.
How would you describe teaching to someone who's never taught in the classroom?
It's a life changing and life altering experience. True. Because you have this time where you're like, oh my God, these kids are annoying and they're disrespectful and they're different and they're weird.
They suck.
But then you have also those moments where you're like, in 10 years, you're going to be able to look back and be like, that teacher did this for me and it changed my life forever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a catch 22 where it's like, I absolutely hate dealing with these disrespectful little kids every day who don't have manners and they don't have this, but you're a part of that change. Right. So it's like, if you want better, then help them be better, because they don't know. Remembering that kids, granted, kind of understand what they're doing, they really don't. They have no real understanding of what like real world and real experiences look like. So, which is why I love teaching Prof Calm now, because I am a part of the conversation of helping you understand what real world and not just professional, but just communication in general looks like, because that is a lost art since COVID. So,
oh my God.
I genuinely enjoy being a part of that, but it is definitely a life altering experience. And it looks dirty. Like, it looks dirty and it looks like not fun, but it's actually pretty fun on a day to day basis most times.
And yeah, like, the kids know what they're doing, but they don't understand.
They don't understand the severity of their decisions. It's like when they say things, it's like you're just talking. Right. But then the consequences that follow it, you're like, oh my God, Oh my God, you're being so dramatic. And it's like, nah, I'm really not. But like when you do these things, consequences follow. So now I'm going to hold you accountable for the decisions that you make, because I want to teach you that if you do this in a real setting, at a job or on an interview or in a conversation with your future husband or girlfriend, this is the reaction that you're going to get.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that, because they live in that false world of like they have no consequences in social media.
No consequences. That's one of the hardest parts about education, where the consequences, they don't deter you. They don't deter the kids from having any kind of shame. Like, because, and we always talk about the old days, like they were like this. Nah, but it was different. Like, the standard was different. And so you knew, at least I'll speak for myself, I knew if there was an email or if there was a call, my parents were not siding with me first.
Yeah.
It was, what did you do in this teacher class to where these people got to call me? Because if I got to take off from work, it's going to be hell to pay for you.
And like I said, I think it's a lot of like post-COVID. I say BC a lot. Like before COVID and after COVID are real things, because when those kids had to go home and be with their parents don't respect what educators do anymore, because they think, well, I did it for
a lot three... of them didn't know.
Exactly. But in their warped minds, they had to stay at home with these children who they don't know. They don't spend a lot of time like understanding, like 8 hours a day with your child is who you don't hold accountable, who you talk to like that's your friend, because y'all were trapped in a house together and all day, every day. So that became your friend. That became the only person that you got to see every day. So now those boundary lines are blurry and your child doesn't understand that, like, I'm the adult, you're the child. Like, as a child, not even as a child, as an adult, period in my life, me and my mother will never be equals.
Correct.
I am 32 years old. My mama is 53 years old. We are both adults. Young or adult, we are both adults. I still do not play with my mama like that, because we will never be equals. I have my own child and I still do not consider myself my mama's equal. These children, however, sat at home with their mamas and think that they are now equal with their mama. And because they think they're equal with their mama, they think they're equal with me. No, baby, you can't ever get where I'm at. I don't care if I'm still teaching and you teaching now. It's still levels to this. And
just, it's not the same.
It's helping them understand. Or relearn that part. Right. But again, that's the fun part about education, because you get to teach them things that you would think they would learn at home, but they don't. taking away expectations of like common sense is the big part of education for me. Because common sense ain't common.
It's not. It's not. So you keep talking about the frustrations that can come with being an educator.
Correct.
So when these frustrations happen, a lot of times they can lead to burnout. And so my question here is, have you ever felt burnout? And if you have, what did that look like for you?
I have. I don't think there's a teacher alive who hasn't felt burnout. And if you say that you have, you're lying.
You just haven't taught long enough yet.
Even if you haven't taught long enough, if you're teaching now, there's no way possible that you made it a whole semester and haven't felt burnout.
Continue.
No way possible. Please.
Continue.
But burnout for me looked very much like disconnect. Mm-hmm. My second year at Travis was like real life burnout. I felt like I didn't want to do anything. Like, anybody that took my class my second year of teaching at Travis was like, we did nothing, and she never spoke to us. I would come in. I would maybe open something on Schoology, and then I would go sit at my desk and be like, it's really common sense. Figure it out. Simply because I just felt like nothing I was doing was making a difference, and I was just tired. And I had to, and I felt, and it wasn't necessarily because of the kids, it was just like own stuff that was going on in my life at that time. And it just transferred over to like, I'm having these conversations with students and I'm trying to teach and y'all just not clicking. I don't care no more because nothing is connecting, and I just want to disconnect and completely. But it did take me like taking a step back and doing like self-reflection and finding other hobbies and other activities that could make me happier, could take away my stress, that genuinely start to bring me back to a place of like, okay, this is pretty cool. I can survive. I'm the one that's tripped. Like, I'm having a bad day. And then having it's me. And then having those honest conversations like, I'm sorry, class. Like, Miss Hill is not here today. Because, like, I'm human. So when you have bad days and you don't want to talk, I'm supposed to know that. I am a human before I'm your teacher. So, like, understanding that, like, and when I started to understand about me, I started to give them grace and understand that, like, this may be why they do A, B, C, D, and E. So, like, my burnout changed when I started to remember that, like, I'm a human and you're a human. And we all have these emotions and feelings, and we all just got to figure this out. But it's still a slow progress, because there are days when I get in my classroom and I still don't want to talk to you.
Who helped you get through it? Who?
My therapist.
Shout out to the therapist out there.
Marty Sellers is the real GOAT of all times. I don't even know if I what or who I would be if Marty Sellers wasn't here, because, you know, as an African-American woman, African-American period, therapy is like a no-go. Like, that's not something that we're supposed to do.
That's changing.
It is.
But culturally,
it's been one of those things that's just like, you don't need no therapy, ain't nothing wrong with you. Like,
people don't know you.
Yeah, you just going in there wasting your money. But it was life changing. It gave me time to like decompress and talk. And I am a talker, which is very rare
you
for people.
You are not a talker.
I am a talker, which is very rare for people to understand about me. I have to talk everything through. I have to say everything or write everything out. And not being able to do that put me in a space of like, I'm gonna go crazy. And that's where that burnout started to come. So when Marty did come into my life and I was able, there was one time where I felt like I was talking to Marty every day, but we talked weekly. And when I was able to like get my feelings out and be able to talk things through, it started to bring like a little bit of light, because I didn't feel like I was overwhelmed with my own decision.
When you're saying this, it reminds me of like, if you have a box of puzzle pieces, and they're just all in there. They're not together.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
That's what it felt like.
But once you start putting the pieces together, the picture becomes more clear. Yeah. And now you can kind of figure out what's going on.
Yes. And like I said, there's still days when like I'm trying to put this piece together and it's not matching because it does not really go there, but I want it to fit. But like taking the time, and like I said, that's why for me, when I do feel teacher burnout, I take those days. Yeah. I take my mental health days. I step away. I play music. I'm a very big music girl, real oldie girl. I play music in my classroom all day, every day. Not just for the kids, but necessarily for me.
Because I always play what I want.
Oh yeah, I don't play. I don't want to hear y'all play this because I don't even listen to what y'all listen to. But like my kids know, like you can walk in my classroom and listen to R&B all day, every day, because that keeps me at peace. It keeps me calm. It keeps me grounded. But just recognizing that, like, and then again, like even this year, I've been at Travis for 3 years at this point, and I don't think I've ever decorated a room.
I've seen your room. It's a beautiful room.
I decorated my classroom this year because I wanted to be in a space where I felt comfortable. Mm. Y'all are coming into my space, and I'm going to teach you about professional calm, but I'm going to be comfortable here. Mm-hmm. So take, like, even that was a big step for me because I'm going in a space where, like, I understand that, like, this is where I spend 97% of my time. So why shouldn't I be comfortable? Why shouldn't this be a space that feels and smells good? It shouldn't be a prison. So I'm going to make this. Gonna make me happy right now. So
look at you.
I told you, Mr. Franklin had to like help me, y'all, because I had to go in here at the beginning of the school year and was like, I know that I've been in this department for 3 years, but what do we teach? Help me, please, because I genuinely want to turn over a new leaf here. He had to help me, y'all,
because I was more than happy to do it.
He did, and he still helps me. I call with the most random questions, like, how do you link Schoology? He's like, how have you never done this before? Yep. I'm like, never did.
These are real conversations.
Real conversations I've had to have with him. He's taken me out of the mud, too. He has been a very big help as well.
Aw. Okay. What surprised you most about being a teacher?
I guess the biggest part, the most surprising thing that I feel like I've learned recently, my sister is now an assistant principal, and learning that principals really don't have any say-so either is wild to me.
That is funny that you say that, because I've had somebody that is an administrator at elementary school level.
Yeah.
And she's like, I had to show them the flow chart of the discipline, because we can't do the stuff that all these teachers want to come up with, this wild discipline, throw everybody in ISS, send everybody home. Like, we cannot do those things.
Yeah,
like, we can't.
My sister has to, like, level me and my mom a lot. Because granted, as a teacher, as a human, like, you always complain about management. So, like, in whatever job that you're in, somebody's not going to do something that you like.
Mm-hmm.
So, me and my mom work together. So, we fuss a lot about admin. Like, oh my God, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And my sister's like, do y'all hear, like, you're like, talking to an admin. They can't. Like, there's, like, what you're asking for may make sense to you, but they literally can't. That's not how this flows. And I'm just like, oh, girl, here you go with the, like, super AP thing. Here you go. Like, I hear you. But, like, no, you just be quiet and mute your mom's phone or something. I'm talking to mama and we gonna complain. Because, no, they're not listening. But, yeah, that's been, like, the most surprising thing is that, like, as much as you want to believe that admin is see all be all and they're the
big, they got the power.
They got the power. They really do not. Do really not. Don't.
Okay, but now we gotta get into the 5 W's before we get out of here.
Oh God, okay.
We got who, what, when, where, why.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question for each one.
All right.
So I'm gonna let you choose which W you wanna do.
What?
What? Ooh, this will be good.
Okay.
What's your escape plan?
Okay. I am going to get my master's degree in athletic administration. I have found a newfound love for this cheer thing. Because as you heard, I was a track coach prior to, and now I'm a cheer coach, which is a whole nother story for a different day, y'all. But I absolutely love being a cheer coach. And I really want to create a position in Fort Bend or somebody's school district where we talk about a cheer liaison for the district, where there's one person that handles middle school, high school, all things cheer related, and is like it's a district position. And I was talking to our athletic director, and the only way that that would kind of be possible to start that conversation is if I got my master's degree. So that's one part of my escape plan.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go back to real estate school, guys. I know I said I left that job, but I am going to go back. I do have the gift of gab, and I'm a very easy persuader of people, which Mr. Franklin doesn't believe me, that I like to talk to people from time to time. But I am going to go back and get my real estate license. So those are kind of my two escape plans of like out of the classroom.
Okay. Who, when, where, why?
When
did you begin to feel confident in yourself as a teacher?
Ooh, never. I still don't feel confident in myself as a teacher. There are days when I'd be like, bro, I'm supposed to sit up here and like teach y'all stuff. Like, this is kind of weird. This is kind of awkward. But I don't know. I would say more so this year. This is the first year where like I can sit up in front of my class and feel like I can teach you this because I understand what I'm talking about. Mm. There were previous years where I was like, I know what I'm talking about, but like, how do I explain this to you? How do I get you to understand what I'm saying? Now, I feel like if you don't get it this way, there's another way that I can tell you, and I can, because I genuinely understand it now, right? So.
Inside and out.
Yeah. Now, 2023.
Okay. We got who, where, and why.
Where?
Where'd you see yourself 5 years ago? Are you there? Or did it change along the way?
Absolutely not. 5 years ago, I would never saw myself here, y'all. So, yes, it 100% changed. Mm. Yeah, no, this isn't what I saw myself doing 5 years ago. Not even close.
Where'd you see yourself 5 years ago?
I thought that I was still going to be a track coach. Thought that I was still going to be married, and I definitely didn't think I would be back on the Southwest side. So yeah, and I definitely didn't see myself being a cheer coach ever. It's really funny because one of the schools that I used to work at, me and the cheer coach used to get into it all the time. Because she kept trying to tell me about this cheer competition, and I had cheer girls who ran track who were really, really good. But she was like, no, I need them this day. And I'm like, girl, like, it's a cheer competition. Like, it's not that deep.
You didn't understand.
So, like, when she saw me for the first time as a cheer coach, she just bust out laughing at me and was like, how did you even get here? And I was like, you really wouldn't believe me if I told you. But, like, I want to apologize for all of the confusion that I had with you back in 2000 and whatever year that was. Because you were right. This is a really big deal and I didn't know. So, I'm sorry. But, yeah, this definitely wasn't it, y'all.
I like that answer. Who or why?
Who?
Who's your ride or die?
Fallon Emery. This is my daughter.
Your two-year-old daughter.
My two-year-old daughter. She's it. Like, if I'm swinging, she's swinging. And she don't even know why she's swinging. But if if mommy's running, Fallon running. That's my ride or die. But no, adult-wise, my sister. My sister is going, she may ask questions about like why we riding, but she gonna ride. So my ride or die.
That's the definition of a ride.
Nah, ride or die is no questions asked. Like, just ride. Like, if I say we're doing something, get in the car, let's go.
Oh yeah, nah, I ain't that person.
Clearly, my sister is a, well, why are we doing this? Well, where are we going? Girl, get in the car. Let's go.
I'm gonna be in the car, but we definitely gonna have to talk on our way to where we dying to. I'm not trying to die.
No, I don't want to die either. But like, if we gotta go, we gotta go. No, we
don't.
Go.
No, we don't.
I thought this through already, and I am 100% the irrational sister. So, she definitely is my ride or die because she got to talk me back down. It's the only way we not dying tonight is if she in the car.
Exactly. Okay, I got two why questions.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you choose.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna like your answer for either one of them.
Okay.
The first one is, why do people quit education? The second one is, why haven't you quit education?
I'm not going to talk about other people because I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I haven't quit education because I don't feel like I've finished my purpose here. Ooh. I have not given all that I believe that I can give to these students and to this community. So that's why I haven't quit. I feel like my purpose has not been fulfilled, which is why I still get here every day. The more that God puts me in these positions and places me in things where I feel like this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. But when God continues to place me here and continues to open up doors and reveal things to me, then I'm just like, okay, I'm not done here yet. Which is why I say like, oh, I'm not coaching cheer anymore. But then it's like, yeah, God may not be done with me yet. This really may be where I'm supposed to be. So I haven't quit because God hasn't said like, yeah, it's time for this chapter to
Last thing.
Okay.
Even though I could probably talk another 30 minutes about that. Don't even get me started. What advice would you give a new teacher? And what advice would you give an experienced teacher?
It's probably the same. Never stop learning. Never stop trying. Like, no matter what you're going through, there's always something new to learn. There's always some new experience, and there's always somebody who can teach you something different. So don't ever get too comfortable. Like, don't allow yourself to get in this box and say, well, this is the only way that this is going to happen, and I'm going to stay here. There's so much more to grow and learn from in education. And again, just like you want your students to be continuous learners.
Lifelong learners.
Lifelong learners. It's in Fort Bend ISD's mission statement. As should you. Even if it means that, like, you're stepping out to a brand new teacher who just got here, they still may know something, be able to teach you something that a 20-year veteran didn't know. And a 20-year veteran, which may seem archaic, may be able to give you insight on something before. So, like, continue to build those relationships and just keep fighting forward. Like, just don't ever quit. It's really fun if you just open up your horizons and look at that. It's going to be some sucky days, but, like, it's cool.
It's cool.
Out of those 178 days that you work, about 100 of them going to be good.
That's it? 100?
We work 188 days.
Yeah.
The normal teacher works 178 days.
Out of your 188 days, how many of them would you say are good days?
100.
That's like a little over 50%.
Yeah.
That's not high enough. That's okay. We're working on it.
That's what I said. I'm being honest. This is a work in progress. Okay. We have not gotten to, and granted, like, I don't work at a school where, like, I wake up and I'm like, man, I hate coming here. I genuinely, and that's another reason why I'm still in education, because I genuinely love the school that I work at. Mm-hmm. Some of the people I may not like all the time, but the school in itself and the kids make me want to get up every day and be like, all right, I can thug it out.
All right. Thug it out, we shall.
Thug it out.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
You're very welcome. We finally did this.
Finally. 35 minutes. Well, actually, like, we've been in here talking for probably closer to an hour.
Yeah, but it's okay. We got 35 minutes on tape.
I hope you all enjoyed that conversation between me and Ms. Hill. She is the best. I enjoy teaching with her, and we have many more episodes to do together. It's always a pleasure having her on the show. But before we get out of here, remember, it's okay if you're struggling in the classroom. It's okay if you're struggling in education. There's help out there for you. Find it, seek it, demand it. Also, maintaining your mental health, well-being, and finding purpose, even if it comes with a bit more responsibility like coaching, will make you a better educator. Not just for the students in your classroom, but also for the colleagues that you work with. As always, thank you for listening. Keep teaching, keep learning, and I will see you all on the next journey.